Yo, what's good, world? This is your man, Jeff, a.k.a. Blacksmith, jumping off once again on the Jump Off with your weekly quickies. That's right, we're back. It's been a couple of weeks since we did the quickies, so we're back off of our hiatus. We hope you've enjoyed our most recent Friday show, and coincidentally, we have the same exact host as we did for the Friday show. Yours truly, and of course, the man, the myth, the legend, that dude named Dave. What's poppin', that dude?
What up? How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. That was a long intro that I just put out, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, I mean, a little long-winded, but, yeah. You know, that's what you do. You're good at being long-winded.
Yeah, that's what I do. That's how I get it down. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, exactly. Yes, it is.
How you feeling today?
I'm feeling all right now. You know, brief update to all the Close Jump Off fans. You know, physical therapy is going good. My therapist said I'm rocking right now.
Rocking.
You know, the knee is still weak. But I'm getting there, though. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to get there, you know, and to let everybody know that I posted on Facebook today as we're recording this on a Tuesday that I will be officially going to Vegas for the Mayweather fight. I posted that any guest jumpers, team jumpers, who wants to meet that dude out there for the big Mayweather-Canelo fight, please book your airline tickets so we can all have a good time. I'm going to be there. I'm looking for y'all.
So yo,
team Jump Off, where you at?
So you and your friends can get with them and they friends.
Yeah, we can all be friends.
No doubt.
I'm just letting everybody know I will be out there from Wednesday to Monday. September 11th, I know it's a crazy day to fly.
No, it's all good, man. It's probably the safest day to fly right now because they everything is on high alert. So you'll be fine.
Yeah, that's right. The Amber Alert's going to be on red that day.
Yeah, you know? So you good.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm thinking about, like, I haven't booked it officially yet, but it's about to be booked. But I'm letting everybody know who's listening to this. Wednesday, September 11th, I'll be in town. To Monday, September 16th, I'm going to get me a couple of rounds of golf. I ain't golf in Vegas, and they got a lot of golf courses. I'm going to kick it at night. We're going to be at the fight. That rhymed, of course. We're going to get it in. So, for anybody.
Go get it in the City of Sin.
City of Sin. So I just want to put this out there for the beginning of the show, because that's what most people hear is the beginning. If you can't hear the whole show, I will be in Vegas. Holla at your boy.
I'll be in Miami. So you know what I'm saying? We jet setting that weekend.
You see, I wanted to go to Miami, but I did not want to crash, right. You know, your getaway with your lovely significant other.
Exactly. No, it's all good, man. So yeah. If there are any jumpers that's going to be in Miami, don't get down his plan.
But hey, don't fuck up my romantic weekend, you know, with you at Chilligan's Island.
Right. No, let me know. Holler at me. We can, you know, meet up for coffee or something like that.
Okay, let's put it out there real fast before we start the show, Jeff. If you're going to be on the West Coast, holler at that dude. If you're going to be in the Southeast Coast, holler at Blacksmith.
All right, if you're going to be in Iowa, holla at Jake to the motherfucking D.
Hey, the Jump Off is going to be all over the continent. Wherever you at, we going to be there that weekend. So if you want to roll with one of the members and have a good-ass time, we're putting it out there right now.
Yeah, that probably means that we should find time to hop on Skype to do a coast-to-coast little Jump Off something.
Oh, that would be perfect. You be in Miami, I'll be in Vegas, JD be in the Midwest. We gotta find Johnny Dangerous wherever he's at in the railroad tracks.
Right.
You know, we all, and then of course, so anybody who wants to get online, like our guest jumpers, we can set up a call like that, and we can just have a cross country show.
Yep.
So that's what's up, people. I just want to let everybody know it now. It's early. It's June. Get your money right. No, we ain't paying. There's no sponsors here for this one. We tell you, get your money right and hang out with one of us.
Real talk.
That's right. Real we ain't tough. Paying bills over here. Sorry about that. It's like the price is right. So, how you feeling now? We doing quickies. We did Friday. We talked about Jigga.
Right.
We talked about Aaron Hernandez, who still ain't arrested yet.
That's interesting.
Yes. We already talked about the Heat winning the championship.
No doubt.
Basketball. But like I said, the Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup. Shout out to Chicago and hockey. I know a lot of our listeners don't listen to hockey.
You notice I didn't say nothing.
Yeah. But shout out to Michael Autry, who was a big-time hockey fan. We were all on Facebook. So now we got to move on to the next now because the major sports are over now.
No doubt, man. It's going to be boring.
The NBA draft, then it'll be boring.
Yeah, yeah. After that, it'll be boring.
Yeah, yeah. So, shout out to everybody who keeps listening to the show.
No doubt. We really appreciate the huge influx influx of fans that we've received on this Jump Off our Facebook page. You know, much love to everybody, all the new fans. We are currently, right now, as I speak, we're at 658 members and counting, so.
Yeah, much love, exactly. Y'all.
We got a special treat for the quickies next Tuesday as well, too. So I'm just going to say it's going to be on and popping, super, super live. So, yeah, y'all need to buckle your seatbelts and get ready for next week's show, too. It's about to be off the chains.
Oh, yeah, and one quick shout-out to anybody from Reach Around, you know. Hope you guys enjoy the show.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. You know, yeah. Reach Around fans, we hope that you fucking with us and you rocking with us right now. So
yeah, even though some of y'all may be hating, we still going strong.
Yeah,
so
we still doing our thing, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
And no hate. I don't know where the negativity came from, but we still going it with the positivity and laughter.
Mm-hmm. The positivity will prevail beyond everything else, so we're going to be still standing.
Like, we the Antoine Fisher minus the Auntie Ray.
Whoa, Dave.
But, like I said, we're still standing. We're still strong. Remember Dave Chappelle did that?
Exactly.
I'm sorry. That's my limit movie rambling for a second. You know how I do.
No, that's all good. It's all good. So let me run through the particulars. Well, one particular. You can check us out. Or two particulars. You can check us out at thejumpoffpodcast.com or on Facebook. That's pretty much it.
That's enough. You know where to find us, because if you listen to the show, you find us in every way possible.
Exactly.
And www.jumpoffpodcast.com. That's all I'm going to say.
Exactly. And special shout out to everybody who commented on our first story that we're going to talk about tonight on the Facebook page. Shout out to myself. I commented on it. Shout out to JD.
So you're shouting yourself out, really?
Yeah.
That's what we're going out there?
Yeah, shout out to me. I'm just going in order of who commented. Shout out to JD for posting it. Shout out to Mike Autry. Shout out to Dion Perkins. Shout out to one of our newest fans, Carol Ham. Shout out to Michael Sales. Shout out to Liliana Mendez, a.k.a. Purple Violin. For those of you who remember her from the many Sunday shows we used to do. Shout out to Sheldon James. And Tito Helper, as always. That dude didn't comment on it, so he's probably going to comment as we talk about it live on the show right now.
I didn't want to fuck with it early today. I was in a whole nother mind state, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, so yeah, I guess we can get into it, right?
Yeah, well, let me go through the particulars for our new fans. So this is the Jump Off Quickies. We basically cover a series of stories, and we spend 3 minutes on each story as far as summarizing it and giving our – well, we summarize the stories, then we spend 3 minutes giving our take on it, our clever banter back and forth, as I like to call it. And that's what we're doing. But from there, we keep it moving. Hence, quickies. Get in, yes. Get out. Tips wet. You already
tips
know.
Tips wet. Shout out to LQ and Michael Autry. Are they going to make a love connection soon?
Hey, man, I'm not speaking on that.
I'm just saying. You know, we may get an answer next week, but, man, I mean, I'm sick and tired just watching of all this sexual frustration going on.
There's definitely some tension.
And if someone's not fucking, you know, if Mike's not going to fuck LQ, I'm ready to go.
Whoa.
I'm just a mediator right now, but I'm sick and tired of all this sexual talk and no one ain't dropping tips with. All right?
Somebody needs to go balls out. Huh?
Someone needs to go balls deep. All right? And if Michael, if you, no straight talk, no chaser, if you don't go balls deep, I can. I'm about that talk. You know, talking about people about that talk, she said, no, I want to go through. I go through. All right? I'll be on a plane by tomorrow night.
Wow. You heard it here, folks. That's an old dude creeping back out. You've been good for a while, man. You started to get reckless again.
Hey, you know what, though? I'm kind of happy about Vegas right now.
Yeah, I can tell.
My leg is – I'm able to walk, you know, again. You know, I'm walking. I'm about to go out of town. You know, besides these fucking tornadoes in the Midwest that make me go hide in my fucking basement, you know. But, hey, I'm just saying, though, I'll be a mediator. I can help. Make the two come together where the tip eventually becomes wet.
We're back in two and two.
In my Chuck Willery voice. But if there's no fucking, I must come in and commence the fucking. Plain and simple.
Wow. Well, all right.
Sorry, I had to go there, but it had to go there.
But before I get into our first story, because I don't want to spend too much time on this. I have a really, really quick thing. A big fuck you goes out to Paula Deen.
Whoa, that's kind of left field. I didn't know this one, people.
Yeah, Paula Deen, I'm not going to go off, like, I haven't read extensively, but basically she got caught saying that she really enjoys the types of, like, old Southern style weddings that have, like, you know, black servant, slave style servants and stuff like that. She really appreciates that type of thing. And she used the N-word.
To our employees.
Yeah. And but I don't know, Dave, did you read anything else?
Here's the thing about, right? Let me just put this out there before we start our stories. People want to say, when is it, do we give her a pass? Because, of course, she was born in a part of Georgia that was really segregated.
Right.
And she was raised in the 50s. So, of course, she came up during a time before the Civil Rights era and during the Civil Rights era, right?
Right.
So, of course, there's some ways that's going to be ingrained to a person. But here's what I got to say about it. You've had 45 years to adjust to the new times.
Yeah, real talk.
You've got 4 decades mm-hmm. to say you can't call your workers niggas anymore.
Right.
Okay, so, I mean, hey, it's sad that she lost her job, but you know what, though? One of my coworkers was black said nigga and lost his job. So if a black man can lose his job and say nigga, damn sure a white lady should be able to lose her fucking job for saying nigga.
Yep, so a big fuck you, like I said, goes out to Miss Paula Deen. And that's all we're going to say about that.
And her cooking ain't all that good. Her main ingredient is a pound of butter.
Yeah.
You know, you throw butter in everything and she makes that work somehow. That's like the magic ingredient. I'm cooking fried chicken. Don't forget the stick of margarine butter. Who the fuck use butter for cooking chicken?
Yeah.
Like, I got these mashed potatoes. Don't forget the pound of butter. Who puts a pound of butter in mashed potatoes for only a serving of 3?
That's why we obese in this country.
That's why she had diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't expect that you was going to be hostile tonight, Blacksmith.
Oh, no, it's all good. I just wanted, you know what I'm saying? I was browsing the internet as we were talking, and I, yeah. So.
Well, yeah, shout out to her for losing her job. She ain't getting that paper no more. No more. You know, so like that one song by Big Sean, see me get guap right now.
See me getting guap right now.
Nah, not Paula Deen. See me no guap right now. Hell no, nah, I'm just going to eat right now.
All right, I'll go ahead and post that story. But on to the first official story of the evening. Before I do that, though, that dude, are you ready with the timer?
Oh, yes, I am.
Because you are a resident timer.
I am ready to, like, who's the one that said, I am ready to go?
I'm ready to go.
What show was that long time ago?
That's Wando, Living Color, man. I'm ready to go.
I am ready to go. Thank you.
That reminds me also of when you were just watching the Martin episode right now with the Rhythm Spoons. I don't know if you remember that part where Stan was like, I don't do that, NT Moore. I don't know if you ever noticed that part. This dude said, NT Moore. Not anymore. NT Moore.
NT. Yes. It's a Mark marathon on tonight right now. So as long as we get done recording this, I don't care what the hell's on regular TV. I'm watching Martin. I'm sorry.
Hilarious.
You know, I'll be 78 years old if I live that long. I'll still be watching Martin.
All right. First story, topic of much debate on our Facebook page today. Florida, Jumpline, Florida, the Florida county where police post sexual predator road signs outside homes of convicted rapists and child molesters. So one Florida county is taking its duty to notify neighbors about sex offenders living in the community to the next level and posting red road signs outside the homes of rapists and child molesters. The sheriff of Bradford County, Florida, decided the reflective signs, which have each offender's name, should be painted on the roadways outside the houses of convicted sexual predators to ward off children and notify parents about potentially dangerous convicts in the area. The article goes on to say, the department already sends out notifications on Facebook and sends officers to warn neighbors door to door when a sexual predator moves in. However, they say if a new family comes to the community after the notifications are sent out, they may not know, you know, that a sex offender is living next door. And by putting this sign up, this big-ass red sign with white lettering, then there's no way that they can miss it. So this was put on our Facebook page by J to the motherfucking D, and it caused a lot of great, you know, commentary kind of back and forth. I personally think that it's a great fucking idea to exploit the fact that they are, you know, with this.
Oh, you want me to start the clock right now?
Yeah, my bad. I was getting into it, boy.
Yeah, I heard that. Hold on, wait a minute, nigga. Wait a minute. All right,
go ahead there, dude. All
right, go ahead.
Yeah, I personally think it's a great idea to do that. Some may say that that's, you know, going too far because you have people who are registered, like they say, through the Facebook pages or online. But I say, hey, they committed a huge atrocity and violated somebody to the utmost, so they should be violated, you know, the same way, in my opinion. So I have no problem with putting a fucking neon sign or whatever the case may be outside their house, so we know not to fuck with them and know to stay away from them. So that's my thoughts on it. What do you think, that dude?
You know what? I initially had those same thoughts when I saw the story posted. I wasn't going to say anything. I'd read that, and of course, in the past, I've had initial thoughts, you know, about, you know, this particular crime and how I feel about these people. But then Michael Autry made a comment that changed my whole thinking. Shout out to Michael, because you know what, though? He made a point. It is a legitimate point that this should not be done because, A, we know it's a fucked up situation that they did, but there are laws in place for sex offenders, correct?
Correct.
And if you serve your time, and then if you release, that means you serve your time, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so I can understand one way, which I still, in a sense, feels like, yeah, you know, so these motherfuckers should be put on blast, right?
Mm-hmm.
But isn't there laws in place that says that whatever sex offender that is in your area is registered, you can look it up on your own? You'd like, if you're looking to move a particular area, can't you just go online and find out who the fuck's a sex offender, right?
Yeah, you definitely can. I mean, you can do that.
You can easily do that.
Yeah.
And let me ask you this question. Is it murder or any in rape and things of that nature are worse crimes than sex offenders to per se in the eyes of the law?
I would say yes, because I would take me thinking or me wanting to have those signs outside of those people's places. I would like to put them outside of murderers.
Exactly.
Too. I would like to do both, Dave.
Exactly. But here's the thing about it, though. If a murderer or someone who may not get convicted of first degree murder, but maybe like manslaughter gets out on parole after 15 years, how come people are not so bent out of shape for someone who took a person's life and doing these same signs too as well? Now, I'm not saying what you're thinking is wrong, but my thing is people have selective criticism, right? And if you feel this way about this here, you should feel the same way about other crimes and do the same thing as well. There shouldn't be selective criticism. If you feel this crime is that bad, then go ahead and do that for everybody in your fucking neighborhood. But don't just single out one thing when there's another crime that's actually worse.
Yeah.
Not doing that. And Mike put that out there, and I thought about it, and I didn't want to comment. I let it marinate, and I said, you know what, though? Michael is right, because there's laws in place, and they're following the law. Now, are they reformed or not? We don't know, but that's us passing judgment, and we are not in the right to pass judgment. But if we're going to do this for one set of a felony, then you know what, though? Do that for all fucking felonies.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly with you, man. All felonies. And the fucked up thing about that is if they did that for all felonies, then neighborhoods would be filled with fucking signs, wouldn't they?
That's all right, though.
Can you imagine what the South Side of Chicago would look like from a signage standpoint?
That's a buzzer. Let's keep going. We'll get this overtime for this story.
Like, can you imagine what the South Side of Chicago would look like from a signage standpoint?
It wouldn't matter. You just put the sign when you come to the neighborhood, like Inglewood.
Yeah.
And just have a big old fucking stop sign. Not just put a stop sign on the street. You just put a big old, like, you know, like 8x10 stop signs. Like, you know, come at your own risk because there's motherfucking murderers and drug dealers here.
Yeah, it's too many to have individual signs.
Too many to list. Just drive through and you will know who they are. You know, if it's someone under the age of 9, just think that they're okay.
That's fucked up.
No, but you know what though? I know we're going over for the story here. And I agree everything what you say here. It's fucked up. Sex offenders is one thing, especially when they're assaulting young children who take over our kids, you know, innocence, and they're fucked up for life. You can have therapy, but they're never going to be the same, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, but at the same time, though, we have people who've taken lives and have done things to adults, and people don't treat it the same way. So I just think that it's very hypocritical to look at it this way, But what about the adults who are suffering and you don't give that kind of same treatment?
Yeah. That's very true. I agree. You got to look at it overall. And also the cases were brought up on our Facebook page about kind of the statutory things, the 17-year-old and the 16-year-old, the 19-year-old and the 17-year-old, you know, when they're really close in age and those people are still being convicted.
Exactly.
You know, stuff like that.
I mean, it's not right if you do a 16 and 17-year-old, but, I mean, in certain states, I mean, let's be honest here, Jeff. Certain people caught a case for fucking up a 17-year-old when that girl probably said she was 25.
Right.
And then you're fucked. I'm not trying to put a blanket saying that dude's right or wrong. Yeah. I'm just saying that I know a lot of dudes reading online and seeing many cases and read, you know, it's like, yo, this dude caught a case. It's fucked up. You know, in the eyes of the law, he fucked up.
Yeah.
But and when you look at common sense, it was like something 17-year-olds you can't even tell nowadays.
Right.
And then you get that treatment with that sign in your lawn, and you're like, yo, man, I made one bad decision, and I'm fucked for life right now. You know, over a technicality in that sense. You know what I'm saying? So My thing is, if we're going to do that, then you can look up who the fuck, you know, you can Google anybody who's been arrested.
Right.
You know, anybody got a mugshot and is doing some shit, you can. I found a person who I used to date and Googled her name and found a picture of her mugshot. That threw me for a fucking loop.
That's crazy.
So if someone got a mugshot and got a record, you can Google that person. And then if you want to do that to sex offenders, do that to everybody. That's just my only thing. Keep it simple and equal, and then I'm cool. But if that's not the case, then shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Cool. On to you, that dude.
All right, let me stop my clock here and reset here. Okay, we went hard on sex offenders.
Yeah, we did.
But I'm just going to go about it, sex in general.
Okay. Why not?
This doesn't really have a particular city, Blacksmith.
Okay.
This is about a particular person. You know who he is.
I do?
Yes, you do. My man, John Wayne Bobbitt.
Oh, man. Is that Lorena Bobbitt's ex-husband?
Yes, sir.
I know she severed ties with him, right?
Literally.
No doubt.
Peak game of the story here. John Wayne says that penis severing improved his love life.
Wow.
Yeah, people. Let me get the details here, then we'll open up here between two of us here. It's been over 20 years. Can you believe it that when Lorena Bobbitt cut her husband's dick off?
It's been 20 years?
It's been over 20 years now.
Wow.
I can't believe it's been that long. Time flies by fast in our thing here. He makes a quote that said, "Doctor told me I would never be able to have sex again because my injuries were so bad, but I've proven them wrong time and again. I believe I slept with 70 women since the incident," Bobbitt told The Sun.
He said 70?
Over 70.
Wow.
He said, "Being the most famous man to have his penis chopped off does have its advantages. It definitely has not hurt my love life. In fact, it improved it. I guess some women got a kick out of saying that they slept with John Wayne Bobbitt." You know, and just for any listeners who may be younger, just let you guys know about, like I said, back in June 23rd of 1993, literally 20 years ago, that's why the story's coming out. You know, Lorena Bobbitt got into had problems with her husband, John, about infidelity and shit like that. So one night he came home drunk, and then when he passed out, she went and got a knife, cut his fucking dick off, put it in a plastic bag, drove down the road and threw that shit out the window. And then, of course, when all the shit hit the fan, she told the police where the fucking dick was at, and then they was able to reattach it after a 9-hour operation. And so during this time, though, of course, they got divorced. You know, and then during these 20 years, he's had a lot of different jobs, including actually being in porn. So he actually got in becoming a minor porn star, you can say. He's even worked the Bunny Ranch, Blacksmith.
Are you serious? That's in Vegas, right?
Yes, it is. He even worked the Bunny Ranch, but he got fired because he became a peep show. You know the guy who ran the show, the big nose, kind of stocky white dude?
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of his name. It got to a point where people just came and wanted to see his dick. He would just pull his pants down on impact, like, "Hey, look at my dick." And he was like, "Look, you know, I hired you here, but I don't want you to just pull your dick out whenever you feel like it." So that's why he got fired. You know, that was part of the rules.
Wow.
You know. But I just want to ask a question now. It's been 20 years since this infamous thing. We were all 13. I think he was maybe 12 years old when this happened. If you knew that your dick would be cut off but could be cut back on, But in the end,
cut back on.
Yeah, cut back on. Yeah. But in the end, you knew in hindsight that you would have a fucking stallion of a love life. Would I
go through that?
Nope. Yeah, I was kind of curious.
I'm straight, man. It's all good. I'm straight. I still wouldn't go through that.
Really?
Because to me, that pain and then going through that is not worth it.
Even if you knew that after it was all said and done, you'd be back to normal again. Have a few scars, of course, you know.
Right.
You know, but...
No, I don't think I would endure it.
You would get down with some of the finest bitches. Excuse my language, but you know, he's in porn, so I can say that. He was in, you know, some of the finest bitches, some of the finest women. Just get it in. Girls, and you could walk down the street, and like, you just have instant game. You know, because they know about you. You didn't got to see a word. All you know is your name and your dick.
No, I still think that I wouldn't do it, man. Would you?
It's a hard thing though, because like Dave Chappelle says, Dave Chappelle said, me and my penis are one, son.
Right.
You know, and so just imagine like you look down, and there's no dick there. No dick gone wrong.
Right.
You know, but you get it sold back on, and next thing you know, you fucking like a racehorse.
It's on and popping.
It's on and popping. 20 years later, and he's had over, you know, minimum of 70 women.
That is a lot, though.
I mean, I'm not going to say how many women I've been with, you know, but,
You ain't trying to gossip, huh?
I ain't trying to gossip, but damn, I'm just thinking, you know, in a 20-year span, you know, to have that kind of variety, well, just because you know you're a sympathy figure.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh my God, how could she do that to you? I know I'm a good guy. I bet you are a good guy. Want to see my dick?
Okay, Dave.
Hey, you know what I'm saying? And you know what though? The average woman will probably say to you, "Yes, I want to see the severed dick that's no longer severed." And then once you see it, it's like, "You want to touch it?"
Right.
And then once she touches it,
it's a wrap. It's a rizzy. Yep.
It's a wrap. And he's like, hey, you want to put your mouth on it? Like my man Corrupa say, every now and then she puts her mouth on me.
You went back, man.
You know that line, don't you?
Yeah.
I want to know if my jump off fans may be listening, especially Michael Autry. Tito. I don't know what Tito thinks on this.
That's Tito.
Yeah, Tito. I mean, think about it. You know, you're in a bad relationship. She cuts your dick off and throws it in some gravel. But you get it reattached and you're fucking for years. Decades.
Yeah, would you go through all that to get to that point?
Would you go through the suffer and sacrifice to reach the end game of the pinnacle of the peak? Like with LeBron James, you can say, how a couple years ago he lost the finals and got the scorn, and now he's on the NBA pantheon.
Yeah, he's on top of the world now.
You can make the same comparison that you got to fall short before you move ahead.
Has it been 3 minutes yet?
It's at the 3:13 mark.
Hilarious, man.
I'm just saying, though, man, It's an interesting story, of course, from a domestic violence standpoint. Say no to domestic violence, you know, because women, you can say all day long about how bad the man is, but at the same time, but you shouldn't take into your own hands and cut a motherfucker's dick off. There's rules to the game.
Yeah.
You know, so that just goes out to women, too. You know, but when I advocating that, but if it did happen, though, and you got your dick back.
They should remake Biggie's Crack Commandments. I ain't gonna do it.
You saw it. Go ahead. We've already been there tonight. Go ahead, real fast.
Send Dick Commandments.
Dick Commandments is a
no blaspheme on that though. No blaspheme.
Rule one.
Boom. Boom. Make sure you post that story on our Facebook page. That dude.
It's gonna be posted next like 15, 20 seconds.
All right, no doubt. My next and final story.
Real fast, that's an oxymoron almost, but it's not oxymoron. Biggie's Dick Commandments. Get it?
Yeah, that's
I like that. BDC. Hey. All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead, my friend.
The next one is one of these 5-minute joints. So you can start the timer right now. This is Jumpline Health. This is 5 things men fear most about aging. And you know, me and you, that dude, we're all aging every day, but we're in our 30s, we're in our early 30s, so we're on that, you know, on that pantheon or that track to to, you know, aging.
Well, we think about it though. Now, is at a point now, it's like, yeah, where did time go? So I know it comes across your mind, like across my mind, right? Yeah,
most definitely, most definitely. So the 5 things we fear most, supposedly. Number one is impotence. So no question that men worry more than women about performing. Says Ken Robbins, University of Wisconsin professor of psychiatry, who's also board certified in internal medicine. When libido starts to diminish or things don't work as well as they did before, it's very common for men to worry that they'll embarrass or humiliate themselves. Fortunately, I'm not at that point at all yet.
I'm not there either. But you know what, though? There's an episode in Curbing Enthusiasm of Larry David, and they made the common denominator of taking the blue pill with how baseball players juicing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? You know, because, you know, we all, you know, some of us, you know, I mean, I don't want to toot my own horn. I don't know about you, no DSI. You know, but you know, we do our things.
Yeah, I do my thing. You know what I'm saying?
I do my thing, but you know, you could be a major league all star, right? But imagine if you could be legendary and go to the Hall of Fame. I will take the blue pill to go to the Hall of Fame.
Oh, you would do that if you were.
I will.
Yes, you would take the steroids if you're an athlete.
I'm gonna juice.
Probably to fuck you up, but you would take the blue pill to offset it.
Right now, I'm a 7-time all star. Right now, right. I'm Barry Bonds right now, but sometimes you want to get to the next level, and sometimes to get to the next level, you may got to take that performance-enhancing drug, PEDs. So I'm not, you know, for some guys who are scared of that, I'm not scared. As a matter of fact, I will start that maybe when I start seeing the change. That way that I'm above the curve, and I'm maintaining mine.
You were hilarious. What they say in the article is that to have males, all you men out there, shit, as you get older, have your cholesterol checked, because 3/4 of men with erectile dysfunction have abnormal cholesterol.
Oh, my cholesterol's good. I've been to a doctor. I've had 2 surgeries. I've been all my shit checked. But yeah, still, though, the level of the playing field, though, because women's sex drive, we all know, gets higher as they get older.
Yeah.
They're not as horny as us when they're young. When they get to, like, in their 30s and 40s, that's for some reason.
Yes,
when
women hit their peak.
Hit their peak. We hit our peak in our 20s. We like jackrabbits at 22.
Right.
You know, so the level of the playing field to equal to them, I'm not there yet. I can hold my own. But sometimes you need to juice and just, you know, get the Sammy Sosa, Mark McGuire status. Right.
I'm all about doing it all natural. I think I'll be good all natural for
you. You be an all star, I'll be a Hall of Famer.
No doubt. The next one is the next thing that men fear is weakness. So it's said that knowledge is power, but for men, so is physical power itself. Men value strength and vigor more, and when it starts to slide, they take it much harder than women do. So just feeling weaker, you know, not able to lift as like you used to and do things that are, you know, more strength based.
I feel that now because of my surgery.
Yeah.
And I have the hardest time, like, just walking through the stairs. So I, in a sense, understand what Derrick Rose went through with that mentality when he felt he wasn't himself, you know, stuff like that. And, of course, I'm not an athlete, but you can understand when you have an invasive surgery where you're lose strength and you're a man. And, you know, that is what we believe in, is being strong individuals. Yeah. So that's hitting me right now real hard, which is making me work even extra harder in physical therapy. So I can agree with that one. Yeah. That's a hard one right there, especially at my young age, just trying to get myself back normal. But as you get older, you can't beat Father Time.
Yeah. Father Time is undefeated, right?
Hey, man. Hey, he, man, like Floyd says, 44 tried and 44 has failed. Father Time says, hey, everybody on the earth has tried and everybody on the earth has failed.
Yeah, real talk. They always say that Bernard Hopkins is fighting Father Time to a draw, though.
Hey, he's 48. He going to be 49 for his next fight. So he, you know what, though, for a nigga who don't smoke or drink drink 40s, you know, and act like he got a bite like a 24-year-old, he going to be all right until someone shoots him. Yeah. He live in Philly. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying.
The next one is retirement. Or irrelevant. So the prospect of retiring fires enormous anxiety, because it too begs the question: if I'm not my career, then what am I? It says men fear retirement because it's how they define themselves and how they feel their time. So all this time on your hands, you're not working anymore. I guess men are fearing, what the fuck am I going to do besides play golf?
And okay, we're going to go lecture on this one here. Yeah. Here's what I feel here, right? People who think that way have a really competitive drive. That's why you got to have another hobby or things outside of your fucking
exactly.
Career.
Exactly.
You know, because I'm only 33 years old. I already got my 401k kicking in high gear right now. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to fucking retirement. So when I wake up in the morning and take a fucking shower, I'm playing golf. After I get done on 5 hours of golf, I'm doing the fuck I want. I'm going to work out, kick it, and fucking travel. Fuck a work. Alright, yeah. I'll find something else to get my drive going.
Exactly. Instead of doing that 9-to-5.
Instead of doing that 9-to-5 and dealing with bullshit bosses who getting your fucking nerves when you come home and you're cursing out your wife and your kids. You know what though? Fuck that. People, if you're fearing that, start your 401k now so when you get to 55, you ain't gotta worry about dealing with fucking bosses. You weigh the pros and cons, say fuck that boss.
The next one, I'm gonna do the last two. So one is losing your wheels, and the next one is losing your mind. So losing your wheels mean, you know, you get to a point you're not gonna be able to drive anymore. So given that, and I think that that's really hard, especially for us men, not being able to whip the whip. You know what I'm saying?
True,
get to a point where you can't push the whip and ride out like you want to.
That's why I tell people, and I was telling you the other day, I'm not going to say what I want to do. I want to buy a certain car because eventually when you get to a certain age, you can't buy that whip. Get it in while you can. And then you know what, though? Hey, if you can't drive no more, and like just go back to the previous point. You stack your 401k, right? Even if you're making that much money, start off so you can have yourself a fucking driver and just sit in that back seat and cruise, bitches.
Said bitches.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt. And the last one is, you know, losing your mind, literally, you know, Alzheimer's disease and not being yourself. And that's probably the thing that I fear most, just not being able to recognize people and getting to that point. You know what I'm saying? That's it's sad, man.
Scares me the most because I know people joke around.
Oh, yeah, you have sound mind, Dave, definitely.
My mind is real ill. Like, it scares me to know what I remember till I was 2 years old. I can go back to two. Literally, not just one memory, many memories and things of that nature. People tell me something, I'm like a hard drive. It comes back. So the one thing that I know that with this mind, it's kind of like a curse right now because people don't like fuck with me because I remember everything you fucking say. But when I get older, when I start noticing that slip, oh man, I know I'm gonna be fucking pissed at myself. So that's a good one right there, Blacksmith.
Yeah, and that's all I got for that one, man. We can go on and wrap it up with your story.
Okay, I got something here, but I'm going to go with this one here. We're going to Atlanta here. We, you know, Jeff, we have the new LeBron, you know, James X or 10 denim sneakers that came out.
Okay, I know he has some denim joints. That's what's up.
Yeah, you know, for sneakerheads.
Right.
Peep game here. We had a man trying to rob Atlanta customers waiting to buy the latest LeBron James sneakers was killed by a shopper who continued to wait in line after the shooting.
Wait, whoa, go ahead, elaborate, please.
Okay, the robber, a man who's not been identified yet, you know, went up to people down in Atlanta waiting in line to purchase $108 LeBron X denim kicks by Nike. And the shoes were endorsed by a star, you know, and could be sold for a much higher price on eBay. Witnesses say the thief pulled out a gun and tried to rob the crowd. The shooting happened around 5:30 a.m., but what happened was another customer who was already packing because he knew something might jump off shot the dude trying to rob the joint. And the dude tried to run off and he fell dead. And everybody in the crowd who saw it actually clapped and applauded the customer for saying, yes, we think, you know, even one person went on the record, Taylor White, said that he should have really stood up for all of us. I salute the homie that did that.
Wow.
You know who was that? Who said that? If I said, and in a quote, I salute the homie who did that.
Right.
So I just want to ask you a question here now. You're a sneakerhead. You got a lot of shoes. We went to, matter of fact, before.
Yeah, oh, gosh.
Before I set the clock here, people, we went to Vegas last year, and me and Blacksmith had a room together, DSI, you know. He opened up his suitcase, and he literally had more pairs of shoes than days work of being in Vegas.
Well, the extra couple pairs, I mean, the extra pairs for working out.
So
not just working out. No, no, I'm not gonna go there here. He had shoes. Not only well, Dave, you had more shoes if you change outfits 3 times a day.
Oh, Dave.
You still had more shoes than changing outfits 3 times a day. So you're a sneakerhead.
It wasn't that many, but yeah, I had to pay an extra $50 to get to Vegas because of my shoes. I admit that.
Yeah. So how do you feel about a customer who already came packing and being prepared to be shot, end up shooting the robber trying to rob everybody?
I think that's crazy that he felt like he had to bring a gun to the shoe store.
To the spot
and being scared that he's gonna get robbed, and of course they tried to rob him. So I mean, I guess kudos for being prepared, but it's fucked up because I thought we were past killing over shoes, man. I thought that was so, you know, 90s.
When I post this on the Facebook group page, when you look at the pics, this looks like an, it's not upscale, but look like a little bit above, you know, hood.
Okay.
Status neighborhood in Atlanta. Because you know in Atlanta, there's downtown, there's Peach Street, and then there's country and there's hood. There's only 3 sections in the ATL. You know, literally, it's broken down like that. There's not really too much of a suburb. You know, unless something's changed the last few years I've been out to people. So if you're from Atlanta, listen, let me know. But that's what I know when I went down there. But $180 sneakers. You know, Jordan status, basically. $180, you get to that point. People wait in line for a limited edition set. People coming strapped already. They ain't gonna rob. They're being prepared to be robbed. The nigga wasn't thinking that I'm going to rob these mofos, thinking that people are going to be prepared from previous Jordan incidents that, hey, I might get my shit taken. And he get his ass cap clapped, you know, guys, you know, cap pat pulled back. So, honestly, that's the reason why I don't wait in line for $180 sneakers anymore.
Yeah, man, I mean, it's not worth it, you know what I'm saying? You can still get fresh and, you know, not have to wait in line for some $180, you know, kicks or whatever, so...
Right, right. I understand that these $180 sneakers, people would, and whoever got their hands on them, would be able to put them online and sell them for a minimum of $300. ESPN Outside the Lines had like a 14-year-old kid who's all about sneakers, and he's made money by being online and buying shoes and like having cash money for selling his shoes. Like he goes to fairs and he has like this kid's 14 years old. Had $1,000 in his pocket with a whole bunch of shoes he bought online. And then when he's all said and done, he sold all his shoes, got about 6 G's in his pocket. Like, all right, then I'm going to go look around, buy some shoes that I don't even have, you know, and I still have a profit for the day. It's huge in the sneaker land, you know, for these exclusives.
Wow.
And it's changed now because it's not about having the exclusive shoes. It's about showing everybody, say, hey, look at me. Look what I have, not because I have the shoes, but because I was the first to have something.
Right. That's what it's all about. It's all about stunting, man.
It's all about stunting. But you know what, people? You can stunt with $580 kicks, yo. I mean, I've done it good on $75.
Yeah, I stay fresh with the $60 to $75 joints.
You know what I'm saying? If you ain't looking at my feet, you got to look at the whole outfit. Because what's good is having some tight-ass rims when you drive the 98 Pontiac? Real talk, hey, I gotta put it out there. I went out a few hours ago to get something to eat, and I saw a dude who I knew for a fact were minimum $2,500 rims before tires. Wow. On a 1989 Pontiac Grand Prix.
That's crazy.
So you know what that means? Those rims and tires that he paid for that cheap ass car could have got him probably like a good 2007 Nissan Maxima or something.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? You can have a nice car with low miles. Instead, you paid off this hoopty whip, but got these nice ass wheels, not knowing when that car is gonna last you.
That's why
I look at shoes now, people. You can have the hot, fresh Jordans, but what's your outfit looking like? What's your game? You know, because I can have some $75 joints. I can rock a 2-carat ring, have a fresh, crispy haircut with the shirt, you know, and getting down with the $2,000 watch and be what's up, have the whole total package, not a full $500 pair of shoes and you rocking a big white tee that costs $5 at Marshall's.
Yeah, exactly. You gotta balance it out. It's all about balance.
It's about balance. So people, word of caution here, don't get in line for them damn shoes. It ain't that serious. Because you know what's going to happen. You're going to get shot. You may get robbed. And I bet you a dollar to dime for LeBron shoes. You wait a few months. If you really have the patience, them shoes ain't going to, you know, you can get them for $180 online.
Yep.
It ain't like Jordan. Jordan's keep and if you notice, Jordan has keep re-releasing the same shoes every, you know, every year. Doesn't matter. So you're going to get them regardless. It ain't never going to come out again. It's a moneymaker.
Yep, and people fall for it every time.
Because remember when they re-released the patent leather Jordans that came out in 96?
Yep.
Everybody and mom were fighting and shooting, and people got trampled at the Nike store. And you know what happened? They re-released those shorts like 5 months later. Mm-hmm. Really? You trampled and got your head busted using the hospital trauma and got no insurance. And next you know, some other cat 5 months later got the same shoes and didn't get trampled. Like, hey, what's up, y'all?
Yeah, that's people. That's because people want to have the shoes first, man.
You know, this is messed up. So yeah,
it really is. It really is.
I feel bad if someone died, but you know what, though? In a sense, you kind of deserve to die when you're trying to rob motherfuckers for shoes.
Yeah, when you're doing something as petty as that, you deserve what you got coming to you.
It's kind of like karma, you know? I don't believe in karma, but I do.
Yeah.
So, that's what I got for that story. I'm going to post that on the Facebook page. People listen to the show, you comment on it on the Facebook group page.
No doubt, no doubt. On that note...
Hold on. Before I go, I'm going to post a couple other stories. Okay. I'm not going to go into detail. I just want to post them. And so if people listen to the show, I want them to comment. I got a story about a son who punches his dad because he was getting at his case how to make Kool-Aid.
Wow.
And so we do have a lot of our listeners I know who drink Kool-Aid. And so I'm just kind of curious to throw it out there. Would you punch your dad if he criticized your Kool-Aid making skills?
Hilarious.
All right, I had to throw that out there.
No doubt, no doubt. Well, thank you for the great stories tonight, that dude. You had some really good ones, man.
Hey, you know, you had some good ones too, bro.
Appreciate it, bro. Appreciate it. We hope that you've enjoyed this week's edition of your weekly quickies. Again, make sure you're on the lookout for the show next week because that's about to be off the chains. I can't wait.
Oh, yes.
I cannot wait. We'll drop some hints and clues leading up to that show. That dude, you actually dropped a hint earlier in the show about who's going to be on. I don't know if you caught that you even dropped a hint.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. I don't know if the fans, you know, picked up on it or not, but
here's what we're gonna do too. Here, before we close the show out, people, what we're gonna do is, people know who's been following us for a while. We used to do live shows. Mm-hmm. You know, we lived in the studio with another company who had equipment, and then we purchased our own equipment.
You talking about Slam?
Is he dead yet?
Man, be cool.
I'm just being honest, man. Be cool. Hey, dude was eating meatloaf salads. You know who lit it? People, I gotta ask. Who do you know survives a long life eating meatloaf salads?
Man, you cannot live on meatloaf alone, that dude.
Yeah, you know, you need more substance than that. But we're going to bring back the live show, people. Mm-hmm. Our live show is going to be video, and it's going to be fan interaction where you'll be able to chime in with your webcam. So what we're going to do is we're about the people. So we're going to put this out there now to find out what time and date would you like the show to be on? Would you prefer Friday evenings, Saturdays, Sundays, Tuesdays when we do our quickie show? We're trying to find out. We're gonna get a fans poll, and then from there, we're going to start doing live shows on when our fans can watch the show live with us and be able to interact with us. We're not just going to say, hey, this is when we're doing it. You got to get on board. No, we're going to work with y'all. And since you listen to us, we want to see what you think, what the date and time is, and we'll go from there. We'll work around your schedule to give you what you want.
No doubt. We appreciate it to all of our fans out there, as always.
Yes.
And we will definitely holler at y'all next week. Peace and love, and jump off.
Jump off, bitches. What you want, bump, double clip, bump, ride, slump, jump off, homie, jump off. All these haters on my, don't jump off. All the streets need is tickets to jump off. Jump off.